Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, how great it is just to be in your presence. Lord, to let the stillness and the quiet minister to our hearts and our souls. Lord, we read in the word, Lord, you're not in the earthquake, you're not in the fire, but Lord, in the sheer sound of silence, as it says in one translation, that's where you are. You meet us in the stillness. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are God. And that you have chosen each one of us to be your children. That, Lord, you love us with an unending love. That, Lord, your mercies are new every morning. Lord God, we come to your word now, let it breathe life into our hearts and into our souls. Lord, let me speak your words so that truth can come forth. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, I want to share with you something I was sharing 2 weeks ago at Boys Brigade Camp. And I just want to share the message that I was preaching on the last day there. But truly felt God was saying it's something to share with all of us here today. And so the question today is, or really the theme of this morning is, being part of God's story. Being part of God's story. So what we're going to start with, I'm just going to start with a little game to start off with. So if I could have that first picture up. Next one. So you've got to tell me, this is a microscope image, electron microscope image of something. Those of you who are at camp can't answer. So what do you think this is a microscope image of? Any ideas? Any ideas? Go on. It's a needle and thread. So if we go to the next slide. It's a needle and thread. So, next one. What do you think this might be a electron microscope image of? Yep. Salt and vinegar. Not quite. It's actually salt and pepper. So it's grains of salt and grains of pepper. So go to the next slide. So you can see, salt and pepper. And the next one. What do you think this might be a picture of? Oh, I heard something over there. Someone say it? It's Velcro. Yep, so you've got the plastic hooks on top and you've got the fuzzy bit underneath. So we go to the next slide. So you see it's Velcro. So the next, I've got one more, I think. One more. What do you think this might be? Or here, whispering, conferring. You can confer, it's fine, I'll let you. Colwyn Bay. No, it's not that. And it's a stamp, yes, it's the torn edge of a stamp. So, go to the next slide. See, it is the perforated edge of a stamp. So, being part of God's story. Now, it says in Deuteronomy, chapter 30, 19 to 20. It says this, "This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land." Choices. We all have choices to make. And the choice that I set before you this morning is, are you part of God's story, or is God just part of your story? You see, because all of us have got a story, but the question is, are we living where God's just part of what we do? Or are we recognizing that actually God has called us to make choices, and the choice is life and death? And the choice, are we going to be part of his story, or are we going to live for our story? That's the question this morning. Which story are you living for? Your own one, and asking God to be involved, or are you letting God be everything in your life? So being part of God's story, I'm going to be very, very Baptist this morning, and I've got some some letters that mean what we're going to talk about. So, we have the first letter this morning. Perspective is the first thing I want to talk about this morning. If we're going to live people who recognize that we're part of God's story, not our own story, the first thing we want to understand is perspective. What perspective are we looking at? Just like we saw with those images, up close, it's quite hard to work out what's going on. Only when you zoom out do you see the big picture of what's going on. And so often in our life, we hit a time of trial or a time of temptation, or something in our life happens, and in that moment, we can't see outside of that. Because it's really tough, it's really hard, and it's a real struggle and a real trial. But if we're going to be part of God's story, we've got to understand that we're part of something bigger than ourselves. And that actually what to us seems the all-encompassing situation of that moment, actually, in the bigger perspective of God's story, God is doing something different. God is bringing about something different from that. I was speaking at this Boys Brigade camp about the story of Joseph and looking at how the perspective of his life, when you read the story of Joseph, it's only a few chapters long. But it takes, you know, 10, 15 years between where he's thrown into the well at the beginning of the story and before he then becomes the ruler over the whole of Egypt. At each moment, it feels like everything's going wrong in Joseph's life. But when we read the whole story, we see the big perspective of God's story arc saying, actually, Joseph, I'm going to take you from the land of Canaan to the place of Egypt where you can be fulfilling the promise I made to Abraham, to bring his people to the place of Egypt so they can grow and that they can become a people group before setting them free again. God's perspective is bigger than our perspective, and in the moment it's really hard to often see that, and it is hard. It doesn't mean to say that the situations we face aren't difficult, and in such situations we might have to grieve and we might have to cry and we might have to just go, God, where are you? But the story arc of the Bible is of a God who's got a big perspective. And that's what Jesus is about, isn't it? The big perspective of God pouring out throughout the Old Testament his love and his mercy and people not understanding it. So thinking, I have to work for it. And God's going, no, the big perspective is there's a point in history, which hasn't happened yet for the Old Testament, which is that Jesus is going to die on the cross for your sins. The big perspective is the cross works both backwards and forwards. It's an act in time and place which works for the whole of the entirety of time. The cross works forward and backwards. If you just look at that moment on the cross where Jesus is saying, Father, you know, why have you forsaken me? If you just take that snapshot, it looks like all hope is lost. But when you see the big picture, what's happening on the cross, you see the amazing power of the gospel. You see the grace of God being administered, and it becomes amazing. Our perspective needs to change. Our perspective has to be God's perspective, not our perspective. In Isaiah 55, starting at verse 8, verses we've probably heard before, we might know quite well. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways are my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and the bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purposes for which I sent it. So let's just unpack that. He's saying, my thoughts are bigger than your thoughts. That as human beings, it's very hard for us to see what God is doing, because we get caught up in our story, not getting caught up in God's story. It's very hard for us to sometimes see what God is doing. We go, God, why are you doing this? But there's a bigger story, a bigger perspective to understand it. God says, my ways aren't your ways. You've got to understand that. I'm not going to work in the way you think it's going to work. He says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways to your ways. And then I love it. It then says, I've never really understood this before. It says, as the waters come from heaven, as it rains and it snows on the earth, in that time when it's raining, you're thinking, oh, it's raining, this is annoying. Or it's snowing, you think, oh, I can't get my car out. And just, it's God saying, but it has a purpose. In that moment, you might not be able to see that the torrential rain is a good thing. But he says, but it waters the land so that things can grow and things can bud and things can flourish. And then he says, that's just like my word. That my word going forth is just like that. That you can't always see what's happening when the word of God goes forth. But it's God saying, trust me in this, because the big perspective is, I will not let my word return to me void. I will always accomplish what I want to accomplish. God is able to accomplish his plans and his purposes. And we turn back to 2 Kings, where we looked a few weeks back now, about you've got Elisha there with his servant, and the armies are all around them. And the servant of Elisha says, help! We're going to die. There's a massive army. There's not many of us. And Elisha just like chilled out and says, Lord, open his eyes so he can see the big perspective. The big perspective that actually those who are with us are greater than those who are against us. God is for us, not against us. As it says in Romans, God is for us. The big perspective is that whenever we face trials and hardships in our life or things in our life, we can trust in God and say the big perspective is that God is for us, not against us. So I might not be able to see or understand why this is happening, but I'm going to trust in the perspective of God's story and that I'm part of his story, not my own story. If we just turn to Jesus and we go to the Gospels and we turn to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 16, and reading from verse 21, it says this, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hand of the elders and chief priests and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day and be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Peter's there saying, God, Jesus, you can't die. You're bigger than that. You're greater than that. And he's saying, no, Peter, your mind, your perspective is only what you want. It's only on a human perspective. And that actually, you've got to get your head around, Peter, that if you're going to live the life with God, is that you've got to live for a bigger perspective. That it's not about what humanly we want and desire, it's the big perspective of God. Actually, what God is doing often is bigger than we can ever see. We can't always see why things are the way they are. But we can trust that God is doing something bigger. Are we going to have our minds set on human things? Things of this world? Or are we going to set our hearts and our eyes on the things of heaven? And the perspective of God's kingdom, that he will bring about what he wants to bring about. The second thing this morning is in the place of God's story. I hope you understand the idea of God's perspective is our attitude. Our attitude. Because when we face situations in our life, the question is, how are we going to respond? What's that attitude going to be? And I was speaking at this youth camp about the story of Joseph again. I was saying about how with Joseph, he has a choice. He always has a choice in the situation of the story. At each stage, he has a choice. How is he going to respond? In the beginning of the story, he responds by lording over his brothers the dream and the vision that God's given him. But then he's put in a situation where he's sold into slavery. And it's, what's his attitude going to be to the life around him? Is he going to just go, I've been sold into slavery, my life's a bit rubbish, so I'll do the bare minimum for the master that I'm serving and just get by and really resent God because actually things haven't worked out the way I want them to work out? No. Joseph's attitude is, I'm going to do everything I possibly can to honour Potiphar in his house. And it means that Joseph is promoted through the ranks of the house and given much responsibility. His attitude is still, I'm going to carry on doing what I know best, which is to honour the people above me. I'm going to honour Potiphar in all that I do. And how we respond in life to the situations we find ourselves in is a really significant thing about being part of God's story. Because we need to understand that it's part of the big perspective again. It says in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, as if working for the Lord and not for a human master. And then it says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. What's that attitude going to be? I used to, when I was in sixth form, I used to work in a chip shop. And I used to absolutely hate it. Because you'd come away, you'd be covered in grease. It was disgusting. And it was quite, it was just kind of relentless. People were constantly coming in the shop and you could never, you finish your work. It was just always something happening, always something happening. And at the very end of the night, we'd have a kebab machine. There's the big rotating bits of meat on the stick you've seen and all the grease that comes out of it. But underneath the machine, there's what's called, the kebab tray. And at the end of the night, you pull the kebab tray out and it's this deep and it's this wide and it's just full of grease. Full of grease, and it's yucky and it's horrible. And my job at the end of the night was to take this tray and clean it. So what you just have to do, because the only way you could really get it out properly, was to get your hand in and dig this kind of half solidified grease out of the tray. And it was just like, just the most disgusting thing you've ever seen in your life. Just don't recommend it. And yet, funny enough, it never ever put me off kebabs. But I still love them. Even though I've seen what comes out of them, you think, oh. And I used to get just like, God, I just hate this job. I needed the money. And so reading these verses, I was like, okay, God, I'm just going to start working for you. I'm going to start living for you. And I used to sing to myself an Ishmael song. Now, Ishmael was a Christian kids writer. He writes Christian songs for kids. And there's a Christian song about Colossians 3:23. And so I used to sit there working at the kebab machine, making kebabs for people and wrapping up chips, just singing a song in my head going, I'm working for the Lord, I'm working for the Lord, I'm wrapping chips up for the Lord, I'm cooking kebabs for the Lord, I'm doing it for the Lord. Just to go, actually, whatever I do, work at it with all of your heart, give your best to everything that you do, because you're not doing it for man, you're doing it for God. And so whatever your life situation is, wherever you find yourself, don't react to the situation. Have an attitude of response to God. And says, this might be rubbish. It might be at work and you think, my boss is just a nightmare. What can you do? Just live for God. Do your utmost. Do your best. Honour God with everything that you do. Whether you eat or drink or in whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And really, what is that? It's an attitude of worship. It's basically the whole Taste and See series I just preached on. It's that whole thing. It's that attitude, our perspective. It's having a lifestyle of worship that says, whatever I do, I'm living for God. And therefore, I will give my best to all that I encounter because it honours God to do that. Our attitude. Think about David and Goliath. If you go to 1 Samuel 17, the story of David and Goliath. And there we have David, and he comes to the camp and he meets his brothers there, and they're all talking about this guy called Goliath. They're saying, he's really big, he's really scary, and no, who possibly could face him? And David's attitude is just, who is this who dares come against the plan of God? Who is this? He just sort of says, who is this uncircumcised dog who comes against the plans of God? He's saying, my attitude is God's story. Not my story, God's plans, not my plans. So how can I lose if God's for me? I love it. You might have heard this before, but it's saying, when it comes to David and Goliath, you can have the attitude of saying, gosh, he's really big and I'm scared. Or you can have the attitude of saying, he's a massive target, how can I miss? What's your attitude to the situations that you face? Because just changing your mentality and your attitude to something can change the very situation you find yourself in. Again, going back to one of my favourite verses in the Bible, you probably know it off by heart by now, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, brothers, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And it talks about being transformed. Transform your thinking, transform your mind. Change your perspective and start seeing what God is at work doing. And when you change your attitude, you start seeing the big perspective. So then, our third point today is about relationship. Being part of God's story is all about relationship. It's about our relationship to God. It's about our relationship to each other. Our relationship to God is that sin separates us from God. That when we do things which don't honour who God is, when we do things that are sinful, it puts a block between us and God. And it says in Isaiah 59, verse 2, "It's your sin that have cut you off from God. Because of your sin, he has turned away and he will not listen anymore." Sin cuts us off from God. And God doesn't hear us because we're separated from him. Sin separates us from God, but also sin separates us from each other. It's a breakdown of relationship with each other. And so being part of God's story is to say, I want to be back in relationship with God. And what's happened is Jesus came into the world to die on the cross for our sins, to take our punishment in our place, so that we can be set free from sin, so that we can live in the full relationship with God yet again. That's what Jesus' ministry is all about, bringing us back to the Father, to live in relationship with him. Because the whole story of God is about a God of relationship, a God who always loves, a God who is gracious and mercy and loving, but also a God who is just. And because God is just, he can't let sin taint him, because he is perfect and holy. So sin has to be dealt with, and he's done that through Jesus dying on the cross. So when we put our faith and our trust in Jesus, we can approach the Father, we can come to God in relationship. But then the challenge of living a life in God's story comes from the verses from Ephesians 4, starting at 31 and 32. And it says this, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you." That what we have received from God, the understanding of a perfect relationship, we are called to share that with other people, to forgive each other, to live loving each other. When we offend each other, we've got to do everything we possibly can to sort that out and put things right and seek forgiveness and ask God to forgive us as well. Don't let things fester in yourself. Seek to get forgiveness between you and other people. Live a life sharing the forgiveness of God. In John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you." "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." He's saying, people know who you are by the relationships that you have. People know who you are by the way you do relationships. If you love each other, if you forgive each other, people go, why are you doing that? What's all that about? We're being asked to live this radical life of forgiveness. This radical life where we pour grace into situations. That when someone offends us, what we can do is just pour grace and say, I'm sorry. If you're at work or at school or at college or with friends or what have you, when someone does something to offend you, just pour grace out. Just pour grace out and say, I want to do everything I possibly can to restore this relationship. That is the heart of the gospel, about relationship, being in relationship with God and being in right relationship with each other. And the fourth point today, about being part of God's story, is about your testimony. That in the story of God, when we're part of God's story, we're called to share that with other people. We're called to share with other people what God has done for us. In John 20, verse 21, Jesus says, "Peace to you, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you." Part of God's story is to go and share the story with other people. And you can share either your story or you can share God's story. But it depends on whose story you're part of. So when people start seeing that you have a different perspective on life, you have a different attitude on life, that your relationships are different, it will raise questions in people's minds as to what's this about? Why do you do that? And you share that because God loves me. Because I live for God and not for me. that my life is not based around who I am, it's based around who God is. And that I live as someone who is loved by God, cherished by God, who's made by God, and live for the challenge and the purposes of God. Sharing our story, be part of God's story, is to share his story. Again, Matthew 28, 18 to verse 20. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age." The call to go. I heard someone say this week, it's time to put the go back in God, which I thought was quite good. It can't just stay in here. It has to be going out there. That wherever you find yourself in your day-to-day life, whether that's at work, whether that's the people you encounter in the circles that you're part of, you are called to share and be a salt and light into your community. Whether that's to your next-door neighbours, whether that's to your work colleagues, whether that's to your friends at school or college or university, wherever you find yourself, you are called to share this with other people. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how could it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown and trampled on the floor. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see the good deeds and glorify the Father in heaven." We are called to be lights to the world. Just as Christ is the light of the world, we are called to reflect his light into the world. That's our story. It's his story. We are his children. We are in his purposes, in his plan. And so, as I'm sure you've already seen on the screen, it builds up to being part of God's story. Perspective, attitude, relationship, testimony. These are some of the characteristics of a life that is lived in God's story, not our own story. As I go back to the beginning, choose this day. Choose this day, whether you'll choose life or death. Whose story are you living for? Because only you can make that choice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God of the universe, that, Lord, you're beyond our understanding and beyond our thinking, and yet you chose to reveal yourself in Jesus so that we could know you personally and intimately. Lord God, help us live our lives seeing that we are part of your story. Lord, help us have perspective from heaven. Help us have an attitude of worship. Lord, help us have relationships which honour the cross. Lord, help us live a life of testimony and sharing the story of who you are and what you've done for us with those around us. Lord, help us be part of your story so that this world may know that you are God. Amen.